那么今天为大家讲一部小说 The Slippery Slope 陡坡啊，希望大家喜欢。A man of my acquaintance once wrote a poem called The Road Less Traveled, describing a journey he took through the woods along a path most travelers never used. The poet found that the road less traveled was peaceful but quite lonely, but he was probably a bit nervous as he went along, because if anything happened on the road less traveled, the other travelers would be on the road more frequently traveled and so couldn't hear him as he cried for help. Sure enough, that poet is now dead. Like a dead poet, this book can be said to be on the road less traveled because it begins with the three Baudelaire children on a path leading through the Mortmain Mountains, which is not a popular destination for travelers. And it ends in the churning waters of the stricken stream, which few travelers even go near. But this book is also on the road less traveled, because unlike books most people prefer, which provide comforting, entertaining tales about charming people and talking animals, the tale you're reading now is nothing but distressing and unnerving, and the people unfortunate enough to be in the story are far more desperate and frantic than charming, and I would prefer to not speak about the animals at all. For that reason, I can no more suggest the reading of this woeful book than I can recommend wandering around the woods by yourself, because like the road less traveled, this book is likely to make you feel lonely, miserable, and in need of help. The Baudelaire orphans, however, had no choice but to be on the road less traveled. Violet and Claus, the two elder Baudelaires, were in a caravan, traveling very quickly along the high mountain path. Neither Violet, who was 14, nor Claus, who had recently turned 13, had ever thought they would find themselves on this road, except perhaps with their parents on a family vacation. But the Baudelaire's parents were nowhere to be found after a terrible fire destroyed their home, although the children had reason to believe that one parent may not have died in the blaze after all. And the caravan was not heading up to the Mortmain Mountains towards the secret headquarters the siblings had heard about and were hoping to find. Caravan was heading down the Mortmain Mountains very quickly, with no way to control or stop its journey. So Violet and Claus felt more like fish in a stormy sea than travelers on a vacation. But Sonny Baudelaire was in a situation that could be said to be even more desperate. Sonny was the youngest Baudelaire, still learning to speak in a way that everyone could understand. So she scarcely had words for how frightened she was. Sonny was traveling uphill toward the headquarters in the Mortmain Mountains in an automobile that were working perfectly. But the driver of the automobile was a man who has reason enough for being terrified. Some people called this man wicked. Some called him Fancy Norris, which is a fancy word for wicked. But everyone called him Count Olaf. Unless he was wearing one of his ridiculous disguises and making people call him a false name, Count Olaf was an actor, but he had largely abandoned his theoretical career to try to steal the enormous fortune the Baudelaire parents had left behind. Olaf's schemes to get the fortune had been mean-spirited and particularly complicated, but nevertheless, he had managed to attract a girlfriend, a villainous and stylish woman named Esme Squealer, who was sitting next to Count Olaf in the car, cacking nastily and clutching Sunny on her lap. Also in the car were several employees of Olaf's, including a man with hooks instead of hands, two women who like to wear white powder all over their faces, and three new comrades Olaf's had recently recruited at Calgary Carnival. The Bowler children had been at the carnival too, wearing disguises of their own, and had pretended to join the Count Olaf in his treachery. But the villain had been through their ruse, a praise which here means realize who they really were, and caught the knot attaching the caravan to the car, leaving Sunny in Olaf's clutches and her siblings tumbling toward their doom. Sunny sat in the car and felt Esme's long fingernails scratching her shoulders and worried about what would happen to her and what was happening to her older siblings. As she heard their screams getting fainter and fainter as the car drove farther and further away, "We have to stop this caravan," Klaus screamed. Hurriedly, he put on his glasses as if by improving his vision, he might improve the situation. But even in the perfect focus, he could see their predicament was dire. And caravan has served as a home for several performers at the carnival's House of Freaks before they defected, a word which here means joined Count Olaf's band of revolting comrades. And now the contents of this tiny home were rattling and crashing with each bump in the road. Klaus ducked to avoid a roasting pan, which Hugo, the hunchback, had used to prepare meals and which has toppled off a shelf in the commotion. He lifted his feet from the door as a set of dominoes skittered by a set that Colity, the contortionist, had liked to play with, and he squinted above him as a hammock swung violently overhead. An ambidextrous person named Kevin used to sleep in the hammock until he had joined Olaf's troupe, along with Hugo and Colette. And now it seems like it might fall at any moment and trap the battler beneath it. The only comforting thing that Klaus could see was his sister, who was looking around the caravan with a fierce and thoughtful expression and unbuttoning the shirt the two siblings were sharing as a part of their disguise. "Help me get us out of these freakish pants we're both in," Viola said. "There's no use pretending we're a two-headed person anymore, and we both needed to be as able-bodied as possible." In moments, the battlers wiggled out of the oversized clothing they had taken from Count Olaf's disguise kit, and were standing in their regular clothes. Trying to balance in the shaky caravan, Klaus quickly stepped out of the path of a falling potted planned, but he couldn't help smiling as he looked at his sister. Violet was trying her hair up in a ribbon to keep it out of her eyes, a sure sign that she was thinking up an invention. Violet's impressive mechanical skills had saved the battler's life more times than they could count, and Klaus was certain that his sister could concoct something that could stop the caravan's perilous journey. "Are you going to make a break?" Klaus asked. "No, not yet," Viola said. "A break interferes with the wheels of a vehicle, and this caravan's wheels are spinning too quickly for interference. I'm going to unhook these hammocks and use them as a drag chute. "A drag chute?" Klaus said. "A drag chutes are a little like parachutes attached to the back of the car," Viola explained hurriedly as a coat track clattered around her. She reached up to the hammock where she and Klaus had slept and quickly detached it from the wall. Race drivers use them to help stop their cars even if a race is over. If I dangle these hammocks out the caravan door, we should slow down considerably. What can I do? Claw said. Look in the Hugo's pantry, Violet said, and see if you can find anything sticky. When someone tells you to do something unusual, without explanation, it is very difficult not to ask why. But Klaus had learned long ago to have faith in his sister's ideas, and quickly crossed to a large cupboard Hugo had used to store ingredients for the meals he prepared. The door of the cupboard was swimming back and forth, as if the ghosts were fighting with it. But most of the items were still rattling around inside. Klaus looked at the cupboard and thought of his baby sister, who was getting farther and farther away from him. Even though Sunny was still quite young, she had recently shown an interest in cooking. And Klaus remembered how she had made up her own hot chocolate recipe, and helped prepare a delicious soup the entire caravan had enjoyed. Klaus held the cupboard door open and peered inside, and hoped that his sister would survive to develop her culinary skills. Klaus, Violet said firmly, taking down another hammock and trying it to the first one. I don't mean to rush you, but we need to stop this caravan as soon as possible. Have you found anything sticky? Klaus blinked and returned to the task at hand. A certain pitcher rolled around his feet as he pushed through the bottles, jars of cooking materials. There's lots of sticky things here, he said. Icy blackstrap molasses, wild clover honey, corn syrup, aged balsamic vinegar, apple butter, strawberry jam, caramel sauce, maple syrup, butterscotch toppings, maraschino liqueur, virgin and extra virgin olive oil, lemon curd, dried apricots, mango, cottony, tamarind paste, hot mustard, marshmallows, cream corn, peanut butter, grape preserves, and saltwater taffy, condensed milk, pumpkin pie filling, and glue. I don't know why Hugo kept glue in the pantry, but never mind. Which items do you want? All of them, Violet said firmly. Find some way of mixing them while I tie these hammocks together. Klaus grabbed the pitcher from the floor and began to pour the ingredients into it. Violet, sitting on the floor to make it easier to balance, gathered the cores of the hammock in her lap and began twisting them into a knot. The caravan's journeys grew rougher and rougher, and with each short, the battleier felt a bit seasick, as if they were back on Lake Lacrimose. Crossing a stormy water to try and rescue one of their many unfortunate guardians. But despite the tumult around them, in moments Violet stood up with the hammock gathered in her arms, all tied together in a mass of fabric, and Klaus looked at his sister and held up the pitcher, which was filled to the brim with a thick and colorful slime.
好了，我先读到这儿，不知道大家有没有听明白呢？实际上是。 一个挺悲剧的故事啊，它和背景音乐有点相反。什么意思呢？一个熟人，这个一开始说，一个熟人曾经写过一首诗，叫做 "The Road Less Traveled"， 就是这个路很少有人走。他就讲述的是他在这个旅途上，在这个森林里面走啊走，然后这个森林里这个路呢很少有人走过，然后这个诗人找到这个路是非常的安静，但是也非常的孤独，他可能是有一点。 这个紧张，as he went along，越走越紧张。Because if anything happened on the road less traveled， 如果什么事情发生在这个孤独的路上，其他的人可能会在那些人多的路上，他们可能听见他的呼喊、呼救声。当然了，这个人肯定，诗人写完这首诗估计也就死了。 Like a dead poet, 就像一个死诗人一样。这本书呢，可以说得上是，走在一个很少有人走的路上。因为它 begins with three Ballard child, 它开始起始于三个这个三个 Ballard 这个孩子啊 ,Ballard, 啊 ,B-A-U-D-E-L-I, B-A-U-D-E-L-A-I-R-Y-R-E, 是什么意思呢？它是波德莱尔的意思哈，波德莱尔就是就这个查尔斯皮埃尔，一个法国的作家，他也是个翻译家，然后他仅有一本诗集叫恶之华啊，不知道大家有没有听说过。完了就是这三个这么一个小孩 ,the Baudelaire parents, 啊，就是波德莱尔夫妇家啊，波德莱尔的这三个孩子，他们走在这个路上，他们要去 Mortimer Mountain 这个山上。Which is not a popular destination for travelers. 不是一个普通的一个给这个旅行者去的一个地方，很少人去的意思啊。然后呢，他的那个这个路途的终点呢，是一个搅拌的水 of the stricken stream. 就是他这个路途的终点有一个非常非常汹涌的一个小溪啊。Which few travelers even go near. 很少有人会往那个近处靠近。But this book is also on the road less traveled. 但这本书呢也是在这个孤独的路上啊。因为呢不同于其他的书，人们喜欢那些其他的书。这些其他的书它都提供一些非常非常安慰人心的有意思的消息，有关一些非常吸引人的故事和会说话的动物还有人。这个故事你现在读的呢可能是非常非常的沮丧的，或者是非常非常让人恶心的。And the people are fortunate to be in the story are far more desperate. 那么这个人物故事呢，也是更加的这个绝望和癫狂 ，frantic 啊 ，F-R-A-N-T-I-C， frantic 是发疯的意思。他们很癫狂，一点都没有不吸引人。I would prefer to not speak about the animals at all. 我不想去说一些动物。就因为这些原因呢 ，I can no more suggest the reading of this woeful book than I can recommend wandering around the woods by yourself. 于是呢，我无法就是再推荐你去读这个很痛苦的书了，因为就像这个孤独的路一样，这本书呢可能会让你感觉到非常的绝望、痛苦，也需要帮助。那么这说了一些幌子，也说白了就是让你读下去呗。那么这个波德莱尔这个孤儿呢？但是呢他们没有选择必须走这条路。有两个人叫做 Violet and Klaus, the two elder Baudelaires, 他们是两个长子啊。他们在一个移居列车叫 移居列车上。他们这个行动的速度非常的快，沿着这个高山的这个路上。不管是 Violet 已经14岁了，或者是 Klaus 现在也差不多13岁了，从来没想过他们会走在这条路上，除了可能 with their parents and a family, 可能是他们家庭要来个这个家庭度假。但是波德莱尔夫妇呢 nowhere to be found, 他们已经消失了，经历一场非常非常恐怖的火灾，摧毁了他们的家园。Although the children had reason to believe that one parent may not have died in the blaze after all. 可能他们会也有这个想法哈，可能会有原因去想说他们其中一个父母呢没有死于这场火灾。And the caravan was not heading up the mountain. 他这个移居列车也不是往这个山上走，去一个非常奇妙的一个这个总部。The siblings had heard about这些他的这些亲戚曾经听过的这个他的siblings 就是那个兄弟姐妹的意思。The siblings had heard about 啊，他们这些兄弟姐妹听说过的事儿，听说过的这个神秘的总部 ，and were hoping to find 也希望去找到这个总部。那么这个移民列车呢 ，heading down the Mortimer Mountain， 他们朝着这个山往下走，非常的快。 with no way to control or stop his journey. So Violet and Klaus felt more like fish in a stormy sea than travelers on a vacation. 于是他们感觉到这个 Violet and Klaus 觉得自己像在这个暴风雨的海里面的这个鱼一样，而不觉得像在度假。But Sonny Bowler was in a situation that could be said to be even more desperate. 那么这里有人叫做 Sonny 啊，鲍德莱尔，他处的这个环境呢，非常更加的恶劣。那么 Sonny 是这里面最年轻的 ，still 也是在刚学会说话的阶段 ，still learning to speak in a way that everyone can understand. 他也是在学着是怎样能表达清楚，能让所有人都听懂。So she scarcely had words for how frightened she was. 她就是很少，她就是无法表达自己的恐惧。Sunny 是在往山上走，朝着这个总部 in an automobile that was working perfectly. 她是啊、她是这个在一个这个自动车里面，是那个运行状况良好的。但是这个开车的人呢，是一个男人。是，而且这个男人是非常恐惧的一个男人，非常那个 terrible 的一个男人。有些人管这个男人叫做怪人，有些人管他叫做非常的怪。那么什么叫 fascinorous 啊 ？fascinorous 就是个造的一个词，它叫做也是 wicked， 但是是一个很华丽的词，是 wicked 华丽的同义词。所有人管他们叫做 Count Olaf 啊、这个 Olaf 伯爵。除非他穿着一个非常非常这个可笑的伪装，或者是让人们管他叫这个那个 false name 是伪装的名字。Count Olaf was an actor， 他是个演员 ，but he had largely abandoned his theatrical career。他没有啊、，had largely abandoned， 他已经大部分的放弃了自己的这个影院的职业。And tried to steal the enormous fortune the Baudelaire parents had left behind. 开始偷这个巨大的财产，这个鲍德莱尔的夫妇留下的。Olaf's schemes to get the fortune had been mean-spirited. 在这个人他这个阴谋 scheme 啊是阴谋的意思，想要得到这笔财富呢是非常非常的坏的啊 ，mean-spirited 是坏的意思。A particular complicated 也是非常复杂的。But never, 尽管如此呢，他还是啊吸引到了一个女朋友，一个非常非常穿的非常那个奢侈的一个女朋友，叫做 Esme Squiggler, who was sitting next to Count Olaf in the car. 他这个抓紧了 Sunny 啊，他把 Sunny 抓紧的，在他的怀里面抱紧。Also 呢，在这个车里还有一个人，就是一些这个 Olaf School 的这些员工。包括呢一个男人他左手是一个钩子，两个女人他们那个在脸上涂了一些白粉，还有三个 Olaf 他雇的雇佣兵，在 Calgary Carnival 在一个什么节上雇佣的这个雇佣兵啊。The Baudelaire children have been at the carnival too. 这几个孩子当时也在这个节上，就是这个欢乐的这个节日上，就是庆祝会上啊。穿着这个伪装，自己的伪装 ，had pretended to join the Count Olaf in his treachery， 就是装作去配合的这个 Olaf 的这些诡计。但是呢，坏人呢 ，had been through their ruse， but the villain had been through their ruse。但是坏人呢，看穿了他们的阴谋。一个单词。这里叫做 realize who they really were and cut the knot attaching the caravan to the car, leaving Sunny in Olaf's clutches and tumbling toward their doom. 于是呢，就总什么意思？就是说，就是这个 Olaf 意识到了啊，就是这个 Bowler 他是来破坏他的阴谋的。于是呢，就把这个。Caravan 和车连着的这个节呢给砍断了，完了把 Sunny 在这个 in all the clutches of siblings Sunny in life's clutches Sunny 就是在后排坐着的，还有他的兄弟姐妹让他们的兄弟姐妹滚到了，就是让他们往让他们走向灭亡，说白了就是把这三个孩子呢 坐的这个列车呢和车头的那个节给砍断，然后让他们自行灭亡。Now worry about what would happen to her and what was happening to her older siblings. Sunny sat in the car and felt 这个 Sunny 坐在车里面，他感受到了这个 Esme 就是刚刚说的那个女朋友那长长的手指甲在抓他的肩膀，而且担心着下一步会发生在他身上能发生什么，而且在他的这些兄弟姐妹们能发生什么。As he heard their screams getting fainter and fainter as the car drove farther and farther away. 他听着这个喊声呢变得非常非常的淡慢慢淡的随着这个车跑远了以后呢消失了。我们必须停下这个列车，这个 Claus screams, 他喊着。我们必须把这个列车停下。于是很快的呢他戴上自己的眼镜。As if by improving his vision, he might improve the situation. 好像他能看清楚以后就可以把这个局势给改变。But even in the perfect focus, 就算是有这种好的视力他只能看到困境是非常可怕的。You could see their predicament was dire. Predicament 是困境的意思啊。是可怕的 dire. D-I-R-E.列车呢曾经是一个家 for several performers at the carnival house 啊，曾经对某些人是个家。 The only comforting thing that Klaus could see was his sister. 唯一能让他感受到这个非常非常安慰的呢是他的妹妹。他妹妹是在这个车里面找这个尖锐的with a fierce and thoughtful expression and buttoning shirt the two siblings were sharing as a part of the disguise.啊，就是怎么事是这样的，就是他看他的妹妹，他的妹妹他们穿着一个这个穿着一个啊穿他们两个人穿着一个 T 恤衫作为一个这个掩饰，然后他们两个妹妹这么说，然后帮助我啊从这个变态一样的裤子里面啊给逃出来。Help me get us out of these freakish pants we're both in, Violet said.已经没有必要哈继续装我们是一个两头的人，就是他们在一个裤子里面待着是为了装这个两头的畸形人。 And we both needed to be as able body as possible. 我们需要从这个裤子里面出来，我们需要一个可以行动的身体。然后呢这个 Klaus 就问了，你是不是想要拉这个手闸？ Are you going to make a break?Violet said, 啊，还不要，还不要。一个闸呢，会影响一个轮子，但是这个列车的轮子也太快了。Too quickly for interference. 想干涉的话，这个轮子转太快了。我需要 I'm going to unhook these hammocks. 我需要把这个吊床啊，解除这个，把这个吊床的扣给它解开。And use them as a drag cute. 作为，把它作为一个这个鞋槽。Cute, C-H-U-T-E, 鞋槽的意思。什么叫鞋槽 ?Klaus said. 鞋槽呢就像是一个什么呢，像一个 drag cute, 啊，这个 drag cute 就是共拉的一个槽，一个就是能增加阻力的东西。那么这里解释说，说白了就是一个降落伞。完了 Violet 解释说，一般开赛车的人都喜欢拿降落伞给刹车，我们现在用同样道理来做。然后呢这个 Klaus 就说让Klaus 就说 What can I do? 那我能做什么呢？于是 The Violet 说了，你去那个 Hugo 的这个 pantry 里面去看一下。 Pantry 是餐具室的意思，你去 Hugo 的餐具室里面看一看。 Violet said And see if you can find anything sticky. 你看能不能找到一些粘的东西。那么 sticky 就是粘的意思。好了，那么剩下的我下一期给大家讲。那么希望下期继续收听本节目，下期再会。
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。